It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in all over North America. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you're at. No matter what you're doing. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be hanging out with you for the next 3 hours. This show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. That means we've been here for an hour. Where have you been? Man, we've talked about March Madness. We're down to the Final Four in San Antonio this weekend. We talked some NFL football. We talked some baseball. Yeah, we got some baseball updates for you in a second as well. And somebody just had a kid. Good for him. Jurickson Profar didn't have a kid. He got suspended 80 games for doing drugs, performance-enhancing drugs. So he's going to be missing from the Braves for the next 80 games. It sucks for them. Hey, how about this? In about 20 minutes, we're going to have a chat with Joe Rexroad. And we want to talk some more college basketball with an expert. Get into some more NFL action. We talked about New York Jets happy that Aaron Rodgers isn't there, no circus. And Kevin O'Connell gave a nice reason as to why the Vikings didn't bring the Aaron Rodgers circus to town. They don't feel it's necessary, at least right now. And so we got more to get into. You want to be a part of the show, you can. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We just talked about the New York Yankees and those funny-looking bats. I wonder if I could hit a home run with that funny-looking thing. I don't know. Maybe not. And we got a lot to do. You can find me online everywhere at JR Sport Brief. And the number again, 888-710-4ISN. If you missed last hour, you can hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Tune in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You got SiriusXM, Channel 375. And if you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. Real simple. Hickey, we've learned that Francisco Lindor, thank God he's not injured. His wife had a kid. Good for him, huh?
Very exciting times. And so I guess that's why he is no longer in the lineup today. He was out there with his family and just got back.
After you have a kid or his wife has a kid, does that mean he is he now has life in perspective? He's going to hit the baseball when he comes back now?
I mean, you said it. I think you could be right.
Right. Maybe he was anxious because he was waiting for the baby.
Can you blame him? He's human, right? Maybe now all of a sudden he goes to the plate, clear mind.
Met fans treated him like crap when he first got there. He starts the season slow, and they were killing him. I feel like he started every season slow. And, I mean, until last year, he was crapped on. He's been an MVP candidate. What's wrong with your fellow New York Met fans? Why are they so much why are they being jerks?
There are always a few idiots that ruin it for everybody else. And call them here in New York, the Lindorks that hated
what?
On him.
Lindorks?
Oh, yeah. Okay. A lot of Lindorks, people that would just basically be 24/7 watching every move and waiting crap on him for saying that he's overpaid, not worth the money, blah, 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 blah. Maybe some not even Mets fans just trying to hoping that the Mets look bad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they were not kind early. But like you said, he's been killing it really ever since he got here for the most part. I mean, first year was not great, but he shut a lot of those Lindorks up.
Okay. And he has a fancy new bat, too, so...
That he does. Watch out.
Yeah, watch out. Fancy Batman coming through. All right. Good for him. Anyway, yeah, he's there. People love him. This is actually hilarious. Hickey, you nailed this one last week. I got to get this out the way. Kevin Willard, who was the head coach of Maryland, he is now the head coach of Villanova. He left. The man said, I'm out of here. Maryland beat Grand Canyon. We saw that amazing shot by Derrick Queen beat Colorado State. They lost to the Gators, 87-71. I think I said Monday he would be in. Hickey, did you say Saturday or Sunday? Which day did you say?
I think it said Saturday. So I was off.
By a day? This man is gone. They were booing him prior to his final game. And Kevin Willard did all that whining and complaining about the resources and lack of resources that he got at Maryland, and they pay too much attention to trying to build up the football. But it's like, hey, we actually can win a national championship, and y'all are taking a dump on us. And so he left. And he just wasted no time in letting people know that he was going to leave. And he ultimately did so. I find it pretty hilarious. This man was just gone. And then I don't want to say he lied to anybody. He didn't. But when he got through the tournament, it was like, okay, this, we need a separation here. I want you to listen to this as CBS Sports HQ broke the news yesterday.
We have breaking news out of College Hoops, where Villanova has hired Maryland's Kevin Willard as its next head coach. Willard spent the past 3 years in College Park leading the Terps to the Sweet 16 this season before losing to one-seed Florida. Prior to that, Willard spent 12 seasons with Seton Hall, leading the Pirates to the NCAA tournament 5 times. He'll now return to the Big East, taking over a Villanova team that has not made the Big Dance since Jay Wright retired in 2022.
And this is the part that really sucks about college basketball, is that you can have success with a coach. And we heard Derek Queen say, hey, I play hard for the guy because he pays me. You can have all of this success, and that's just blown to shreds. The coach left. The players are going to leave. Guys are going to the pros. He's going to Pennsylvania. Like, what are we doing? I'm supposed to be invested in this? I'm supposed to love every minute and second? No, thank you. I mean, college basketball is a circus in and of itself. I mean, it's good. You think about the games that we have this upcoming weekend. And we have some new coaches trying to build new dynasties. I don't think they're going to be running away. They're at top-end programs. And then we have some other coaches. They're like the furniture at your grandma's house, like we mentioned last week. They're not going anywhere. And if they are going anywhere, it's very likely that their next stop is retirement. Hey, let's look at someone like Kelvin Sampson, 69 years old. The man has been coaching at Houston since 2016. Since he got to the Cougars, love Cougars, this man has a winning percentage of 78%. This man just went to the Final Four a couple of years ago. Unfortunately for him, he lost to Baylor, the eventual champions. He went again a long time ago, more than 20 years ago with Oklahoma. Kelvin Sampson is still searching for that first championship. In the Cougars, they shoot threes. They play defense. They stop you. Kelvin Sampson is a member of the old guard with these Houston Cougars. He's going to be taking on a young coach in John Shire and Duke, who's 38 years old, who's taking over for Coach K. Kelvin Sampson, from yesterday, he was asked just about the short time span, going from Sweet 16 to Elite 8. Why is his team so confident? Only an older gentleman could explain why.
Well, it wasn't the last 36 hours. It's since June. And we didn't get good the last 36 hours. We just went through the Big 12 tournament, played 3 games there. A thing I like about this team, I don't think they overreact to anything, good or bad.
Yeah, this is wisdom. He's like, man, ain't nothing about no 36 hours. Been working on this since June. John Shire over at Duke. Man, he's only been working on this now for 3 years. Coach K said, I'm gone. I'm not dealing with this NIL nonsense. I'm quitting. I'm going to go sit down with my kids, my grandkids. I'm going to do a podcast like all retired people do, and I'm going to mind my business. So John Shire here at 38 years old is going to lead the Duke Blue Devils against Kelvin Sampson. Well, John, you've never won a championship, obviously. Lost to North Carolina State trying to get to the championship last year. Why you feel so good about what you got going with these Blue Devils today?
We've always thought about doing things differently. I think the key to this team, one, is you bring in the right people as freshmen, but then you have great balance. You know, Tyrese is a junior, Caleb coming back, Sion, Mason, Malik, That balance is huge. And I think that was really important for us in the offseason to add that, in addition to really mature freshmen who are loose, confident, competitive, and not fazed by, you know, this environment.
Man, Duke got money. Is that good enough? Duke got money. They're always going to be able to attract people. They got a name. They got money, a name brand. It's probably the biggest program in all of college basketball. They got money. And coming after Coach K, it doesn't hurt either, you know. John Shire never won a championship. Probably never going to leave. Kelvin Sampson never won a championship. This is probably his last stop as a head coach. And then you got another older gentleman in Bruce Pearl. He's 65 years old. This man has been all over. Coaching at Milwaukee, was at Tennessee, and now has been at Auburn since 2014. This man took Auburn to the Final Four in 2019. Lost to the eventual champs in Virginia. Bruce Pearl is trying to get that championship. He's trying to cut down another net before it's too late. And Bruce Pearl, he gave an explanation why his team has been successful.
Auburn is a special place. It is a very, very, it is. It's a special place. I've liked every place I've lived, okay? I've never liked any place more than I've liked Auburn. So that's how the program is where it's at because of this staff. I did not do it.
Okay. Well, it's humble. It was good. Has nothing to do with the fact that, starting rotation is probably the oldest out of the Final Four guys that are remaining. Nothing to do with that. But Bruce Pearl here never won a championship. Not going anywhere. And then you got Todd Golden. I don't know. At some point in time, he may go somewhere coaching for the Gators. Last time they won a championship, I remember this vividly. I mean, we had Corey Brewer and Joakim Noah was out. Al Horford was still in college playing at that time. Billy Donovan. Hickey, one point in time, he was young. He still looks the same, doesn't he, right?
He does. He's not really aged too much.
You would think coaching the Chicago Bulls would age you, but I mean, damn. That's a loser team that does nothing. Great game against the Lakers last week, but damn, that's a team that would give you gray hairs. Billy Donovan looks good. Well, that's the last time the Gators won a championship. And Todd Golden, he's 39 years old. This guy, I feel like he was just playing at St. Mary's. He's 3 years here at Florida. You want to know something? He never won a game in the tournament until this year. He could win a national championship without ever having won a tournament game until this tournament. Pretty crazy when you take a look at things. Todd Golden, I don't want to say he's excited just to be here, but he's like, you got to be kidding me. This is what he told CBS Sports.
It's crazy, to be honest. You know, I think if we would have said this at the beginning of the year, a lot of people would have laughed at us, you know, that we would have been meeting in the Final Four. Surreal. You know, as you know, Bruce is one of my mentors, and his son Steven's one of my best friends. And I FaceTimed with Steven last night after they got the win. We were just sitting there shaking our head, like, really? You know, we're meeting up again here in the Final Four. Like, it's hard to believe, but I'm incredibly happy for them and just proud of the success that their program's had. And I know they feel the same way about us. And you know, if you're gonna play somebody you care about, you might as well make it in the Final Four, where at least one of you guys will have an opportunity to go win the national championship in the next game you play in.
I said this early in the show. I think the Gators are going to advance. I think that they're going to look at Duke, and I got Duke knocking off Florida. It's my thoughts. Hickey, for like one day, I'm gonna find photos of me in Florida and act like I'm a Gators fan.
Hey, that works. This is the time to jump on the bandwagon.
Right, right. If I thought they were going to win, so I don't think they will, so I changed my mind. I don't want to jump on a bandwagon of a team I think is going to lose.
Is that why you're not going Auburn? As I've seen that Auburn is or Atlanta is like Auburn North.
No, I don't do that, Hickey. No. I feel like there's more Bama out here than Auburn. From what I see, okay. Just you'll see some more. You'll see people walking more of the street. They got Alabama stuff on in Auburn. So we'll see. I mean, more Bulldogs. Bulldogs all the way. But that's even more local. But I digress. Right. You get it. Yeah, Hickey, no, I don't do no Alabama nothing for me, Hickey. All Atlanta, okay?
Okay, okay.
And let's get this guy on. We got to go to Baltimore before we get to Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. I'm going to get his thoughts on what we got left here in college basketball. But let's talk to Sam. Sam, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's on your mind?
You're talking about Aaron Rodgers. I didn't realize. Somebody showed me his stats for the second half of the season. It looked like he had a fairly decent season, even though they didn't win many games. But the problem with Aaron is he commands so much money, and he really doesn't produce as far as wins. And I turned from the Ravens game to whatever was on CBS at the time, and they had like 5 minutes to go in a game, and they announced that Aaron Rodgers had just took himself out of the game. It was the last game of the season. And they were losing. They were being shut out. And Tyrod Taylor comes in. Now, Tyrod Taylor has been in the NFL for like 20 years or more because he was going to start for Baltimore and got the flu.
Well, Sam, to not go too far out on a limb, Aaron Rodgers' largest issue isn't so much that he demands a big old salary. The larger issue with Aaron Rodgers is that he demands a lot of attention that's unnecessary to winning, which is unfortunate. Well, and for him, it's one of the reasons why the New York Jets no longer want him. It's a reason why the Packers were just like, yeah, it's time to move on. The guy doesn't shut up. Do I think he has something left in the tank? I do. But is the juice worth the squeeze? I think not. Let's see where he ends up. I think he's still likely to end up in Pittsburgh with the Steelers to kind of try to wind out his career on a high note. Thank you so much, Sam, for calling from Baltimore. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, it's time to have a chat with Joe Rexroad to talk all things college basketball and Final Four. He's joining us via The Athletic. Don't move.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, we started off with 64 or 68 teams. Now we're down to 4, starting this Saturday in San Antonio, Texas. This is going to be fun. We got Duke versus Houston. We got Auburn versus Florida. To talk about what we've seen, what we might see, what we can expect by the time we get to next Monday. Joining us right now is someone who covers all things college basketball. His name is Joe Rexroad, joining us courtesy of The Athletic. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing great, JR. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you again for taking the time to come on through and join us. We got 4 number ones here. This is the first time we've seen this since 2008. Are you surprised that the best of the best came through and that there are no surprises?
No, although, you know, you figure maybe one of the twos or threes gets through, you know, obviously, you don't expect all ones because like you said, I mean, since seeding began in 1979, we've had that one time that was in 08, which of course ended with the, wild title game with Kansas coming back to beat Memphis in that game, but Mario Chalmers 3, but you know, you expect, I'm not surprised it's a chalky tournament, and I do think that there's the possibility that becomes more the norm. Some people are freaking out about that. I don't think that we've lost Cinderella altogether, but I think that, you know, there are some I think there are some things that are going to make it more difficult. I mean, I think it's hard not to see those, but yeah, I mean, the fact that we have all ones, you don't expect that in a given year, but I will say, I mean, these ones are just, I mean, they were so impressive. They are, I think, the clear 4 best teams. You know, only one of those 4 Elite Eight games, JR, was really, really a great game. Michigan State hung in, I guess, with Auburn. But really, the one great game was Texas Tech, Florida. And, you know, if you go with the KenPom ratings, which he's been doing since 96, 97, these 4 teams are among the 10 most efficient teams since that time, since the 96-97 season. So this really is a loaded Final Four.
And no doubt about that. Joe Rexroad here with us from The Athletic. When you talk about being loaded, Duke was a favorite to get here from the onset and from the get-go. Any changes in your mindset after having seen them play, even on a quote-unquote bad game, but still all-around great game from Cooper Flagg?
Yeah, I like them more than I did before the tournament. You know, the hard part with Duke for me, Jared, was like they didn't have a lot of great games this year because the ACC was so down. They lost the one game at Clemson. They weren't in a lot of close games. So even though the collection of talent was impressive, and they did some good things in that league, they beat Auburn. You know, they lost a couple tough ones in there too. But I was very curious to see if they'd be as dominant in this tournament as at times they have looked, and they've just been tremendous. Cooper Flagg, like you said, yeah, it's a down game of 16-8, you know, and 3 assists or whatever, and all over the place as a defender. But what you've seen from Duke to me is Malawach and Knipple and Proctor. I mean, those three guys are just in their different ways. Are just right now playing at such a high level. And then you have, you know, Sion James, and you have Mason Gillis coming off the bench. So much depth, length, talent. And I just think John Shire has done a tremendous job too. What they did against Alabama and Mark Sears after Alabama put 113 on BYU, you kind of figured they wouldn't have the same kind of shooting night, but I just thought Duke's plan was tremendous. So, yeah, I think Duke is the favorite. I think Duke is the best team, and it's going to take a tremendous effort from someone to knock them out.
Well, the team that they're going to take on, Houston, is the best defensive team in the country. I think Duke is putting up about 91 a game. Meanwhile, you got Houston holding teams to about, you know, 56. We know that they're going to go out there and try to knock down those threes. How can Houston overcome this? So they're going to have an Alabama-like historical performance, and not Alabama in the loss, but the victory?
Yeah, I'm so excited for this game, JR. It's just a tremendous. And I almost, not to discount the SEC, the SEC's had an incredible year, and they've got the other two teams, and I think that they've backed up their dominant season. But I almost look at Duke-Houston as a national championship game. Wow. And like you said, Houston the best defense, Duke the best offense. And it's, you know, watching what Houston did to Tennessee yesterday, Tennessee is not, you know, Tennessee is also an elite defensive team. Not a great offensive team, but still, it's like, you're talking about a team that's like 17th in efficiency in the country, has had some very good games offensively, and it just couldn't do anything against that team. Very different situation going against Duke, but I think if they can figure out Cooper Flagg, which I know that's, you know, easier said than done, that's the one matchup that I think is kind of an issue for Houston. But the way they help, the length, and you know, they're so strong too, you know. They're so strong, they're so great at getting in the gaps and just contesting everything and being so physical. So I think that they're going to have the pace more the way they want it. And, of course, you would also expect in San Antonio, one of those two SEC teams is going to win, so their fans will be there cheering for Duke to lose, right? And then you got what you would think would be all the Houston fans in San Antonio. So I think there are some factors that could really make this a classic.
And Joe Rexroad is joining us from The Athletic. You talk about those two SEC teams. We saw a historic season out of the SEC, probably the best conference performance ever when it comes down to college basketball. Yeah, we got Auburn and Florida who are left here. Why do you think that was the case this year? Is it a matter of the kind of the football programs having money, being able to help out? Why do you think this is the case?
Well, this is kind of an almost decade-long story for the SEC. You know, they hired Mike Trangisi to come in and, you know, formerly the Big East, to help them kind of just figure out basketball. You know, if you remember, JR, 10 years ago, SEC was getting like three programs, and it was Kentucky. Kentucky was great under John Calipari, and then, you know, Florida was kind of down. Billy Donovan left, and they just really had nothing going on. So they did a lot of things, but the biggest thing was you guys have got to invest more, and you got to hire better coaches. And so you see Auburn, you know, gets.
Oh, I think we might have dropped. I think we might have lost Joe there. Yeah, I think Joe's gone. Hickey, did Joe drop off, or did I fall off the face of the earth? Oh, boy. I think Jay, I might have fallen off the face of the earth. Oh, here he is. Hey, Joe, you there?
Hey, yeah, I don't know what happened there. Sorry about that.
No, it's all good. Sometimes I'm known to talk too much, and I get the boot. So I had to think about that for a second. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I was just saying the SEC, you know, they really went through a they really went through a league-wide examination of why basketball is so bad, and they came away with, you got to invest more money, you got to hire better coaches. So you've got Bruce Pearl at Auburn and Rick Barnes at Tennessee, and you got Chris Beard at Ole Miss, and Mike White is in. I mean, there's a lot of good coaches. You know, now you have Todd Golden, of course, at Florida. Nato. I mean, there's a lot of really good hires that have happened. And so I think, to your point, money is a big part of it. I think that, these schools have a ton of money. They have the resources. We know that, the collectives and, paying players, you got to be able to be competitive in that way. But I also think it's very good coaching. And then you've just had some teams that have been able to stay old, like Auburn, very old team that have stayed together, And you think about even before this, there were like those Villanova teams that had all those old players who played several years together. That's what we're of a certain age. We're used, we remember college basketball teams when they would kind of grow together and get better year after year. And it's obviously a lot different now. But when you can get that, and some of these SEC teams have had that dynamic, then you obviously will benefit from that too. So, I think this is the culmination. I don't know that this continues at this level. I think it'll be a very good league. You think about it moving forward, they've got revenue sharing, and some of these other leagues don't have football, so they don't have football to worry about, right? Whereas the SEC, like the SEC football teams are going to get their cut, a biggest cut of the revenue sharing. So does that make it go down a little bit moving forward? It'll be interesting to see.
But do you think at any point in time that we'll get a little bit more stability? Of course, the transfer portal and NIL is not going anywhere. But can we get to a point where we can get a coach in for 4 or 5 years, 10 years, and get some players to stick around for a couple of years as well? It can't be the everybody move around every year. It can't be that way, right?
Yeah, well, I think one big thing there is, can you get to the point where it is more like you have multi-year contracts? I think that then you get into labor and collective bargaining, which some people really don't want. But I mean, that to me is how you get that stability. I mean, you still do have some programs. Purdue was in the Sweet 16. They had all their players who started with the program. Like, were all the starters were Purdue guys who started at Purdue. Michigan State, 4 of their 5 were players who started at Michigan State. There are still some programs who have more. I mean, Houston. Most of Houston has been there the whole time, So you do have that some, but to your point, you've also got some of these, like Florida and some of these other schools that are really good have just been, it's been very much built by the portal. But yeah, I think it's better for the game at some point and for fandom to be able to have some consistency to know what year after year, you have some of the same guys you're rooting for. I think for the big picture of the sport, it's important to find that stability one way or the other.
Yeah, sign me up. I'm going to be paying attention to the games on Saturday. I'm going to be watching, obviously, on Monday. Like you, I'm looking at Duke to walk away as champs. And I think one guy who won't be moving away from his job at any point is John Shire. Joe, I don't see him going anywhere. Where else is there for him to go, right?
Well, exactly. You talk about a big task trying to follow Mike Krzyzewski at Duke. And I got to say, I covered the Tennessee-Duke game a couple of years ago in the Sweet 16 when they lost. And it's like, man, this is just such a tough job to try to follow Krzyzewski, But then they get to then the Elite Eight last year, they lose to NC State and, DJ Burns and that kind of, Cinderella run for them. But for him to just keep getting better each year to have this team, it's awfully impressive. I mean, look, you have advantages at Duke that you could argue no other place has, or at least a very small number of schools can claim, right? But it still can't be easy at all to follow your mentor and arguably the best coach, or certainly one of the best 2 or 3 coaches of all time. So you got to be impressed with what he's done.
And without a shadow of a doubt. Hey, Joe, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We'll see what takes place over the weekend and on Monday. Where can people follow you and all of your work?
Well, thanks, Jerry. Yeah, at Joe Rexroad on X, and, theathletic.com is where all of our coverage is, and I'll be, and a lot of us will be down in San Antonio this weekend providing coverage.
And no doubt about it. Hey, enjoy some of that good old food down there. Bring some back up. If you pass through Atlanta on the way to Tennessee, bring some back, okay?
All right, I got you. Thanks, JR.
No doubt about it. Always a pleasure having a chat with Joe Rexroad. Covers all things college basketball. He's looking at Duke to win, like me and a whole lot of other people. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Joe made a good point. We know how important it is you got to have great coaching at every level. But at college, that's your one stability point. When you look at the players who come in, they're there for a year, 2 years, if that, they're in, they're out. You want to have stability at the coaching spot if you want to have any type of success. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back, speaking of coaching, how about this? Who would have thought Andrew Luck, former NFL quarterback, is reconnecting with his former NFL coach in Frank Reich? I'm going to tell you where they're reconnecting and why they're reconnecting. We'll get into that on the other side of the break. Speaking of quarterbacks, this guy still plays in the NFL. He's looking for some more money. Maybe his name is Lamar Jackson. And then Brock Purdy. Well, it's about time for that guy to get paid. He's like the NFL's biggest discount. We're going to talk some quarterbacks on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Joe Rexroad for joining us to talk some college basketball. In the last break, if you missed that conversation, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. He came through courtesy of The Athletic. If you want to talk to us, you want to talk to me, you want to talk to Hickey, you want to talk to the country, you want to talk to North America, you can do that too. The phone number here is 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Whether you love Duke, whether you hate Duke, you just got to ride the wave. You got to ride the train. You got to get on board. It'd be a surprise if the Blue Devils aren't national champions next Monday night. It'll be a surprise if they don't win the championship. And then Cooper Flagg is selected number one overall in the upcoming NBA draft. Like, I'm already thinking about the NBA draft. I'm like, where's Cooper Flagg going to end up? What miserable ass team is he going to have to try to help go out there and elevate? We'll find out. We'll see soon enough. Hickey, this man is going to end up in D.C. Watch. Just being, he's going to be miserable somewhere, right?
Is that the worst case?
Oh, my God.
Portland?
Well, they need it. Like, doesn't the worst case team need the best guy, right?
Yes. Yes, you're right. At worst case, I guess, in terms of, like, buzz, excitement, where maybe his career would go to die.
Bro, I mean, the Wizards have been so bad for so long. Aren't they deserving of someone who can actually kind of right the ship? Like, not somebody who's just going to be there and then, you know, kind of flame out. Like, let's think about some of the stars. Not necessarily drafted, but guys who are expected to turn them around. Gilbert Arenas was supposed to help him, and he was playing with guns, right? We had Juwan Howard, who popped up for a while. You got John Wall, who got hurt. Bradley Beal, who got hurt. I don't know, maybe they deserve a Cooper Flagg. And I believe Alex Saar has been playing better as of late as well.
Okay, so you're saying it's not hopeless there if he goes to D.C.?
His worst case scenario, yes, I think so. But not hopeless. Maybe because of him.
Okay.
They got some good young talent. I don't know. D.C. deserves better from a basketball standpoint. They got Washington. They got them good. Everybody's looking at Ovechkin right now. At least they won, you know, the Stanley Cup. What at this point? Damn. When the Caps win? Let me see.
Like 2017?
Is it a decade almost already? Damn.
It's getting close.
Oh, my God. I'm doing math. Hickey, I still feel like I'm in pandemic era. Okay.
I still remember when they were celebrating in like the streams and like the in the city swimming around. That was, I feel like a well-documented celebration the Capitals had.
Why? What do you mean, the stream?
Like, you know, like cities have like fountain. Not the stream. That's a bad choice of okay. words. The fountains.
Right, right.
Like, I think it was like maybe like a Nats game they went to, like where they're honored. And like after the game, like there's like video of them like in downtown, like swimming in like the fountains in the city.
Oh, my God. There's people swimming in the fountains in D.C. right now. I don't think it has anything to do with a championship celebration. I'll tell you
I
that
would
much.
Agree with that.
Just, oh, man. Hickey, I go a couple times a year, man. I just pop up and pop out in D.C. I feel like I was there, I don't know, in the wintertime for something. I don't know. Every time I go back, I'm just, nothing surprises me anymore. I'm like, these people live outside the White House, too? Like, people, oh, I'm like, I guess, right? No city is exempt. Shout outs to everybody out there just trying to make ends meet. Anyway, I did tell you before we went to break, as we talked about the importance of coaches, and Joe Rexroad had brought up all the Final Four coaches, how good they are. This is a wild story. I don't. Maybe it's not wild. It is certainly interesting. Andrew Luck, who decided to retire from the NFL because of the beating that he took, and I guess also the fact that he's a very smart individual. He's smart enough not to take a beating. He quit. He's now the general manager for Stanford football. And apparently he's the only general manager at the college level and all of sports, college sports, I should say, that has final say over the coach. Like, he's not just some guy out here trying to find money and sponsorships and, you know, shake hands and kiss babies and try to take people's wallets and dig in their wallets. He's actually in charge of the coaching search. And we heard and we learned that they had to fire their recent head coach, Troy Taylor, because of investigations. And now he spoke to women and they got him the hell up on out of there. Keep in mind, tomorrow, and yeah, really keep in mind, tomorrow is April 1st. It's April Fool's Day. There's going to be a lot of jokes. People are going to be saying stupid stuff. Don't expect any jokes here from me. Hickey, you got a joke planned for tomorrow? Should I know about anything?
No, sir. I'm not funny to begin with, so I won't try tomorrow.
Yeah, I ain't got no jokes either. Don't expect jokes on the JR Sport Brief Show. Pretty sure we'll get some stupid stories all throughout the course of tomorrow, so just beware. But keep in mind, it's April 1st tomorrow. And this team, Stanford, did not have a head coach until earlier today. Apparently, Andrew Luck decided to bring in someone who used to coach him for the Indianapolis Colts. I want you to take a listen to this breaking news as it came through earlier today from CBS Sports.
We've got breaking news out of college football. Stanford is hiring Frank Reich as their interim head coach. That's the latest from our Matt Zinnitz. He'll replace Troy Taylor, who was fired after two seasons amidst allegations that he mistreated staff. ESPN reporting that Reich will serve as the team's interim head coach for just one season in 2025. The former Colts and Panthers head coach was hired by Cardinal general manager Andrew Luck, who of course overlapped in the NFL with one season in Indy back in 2018.
Oh, that's not bad. Andrew Luck basically got himself a babysitter. That's what happened. Andrew Luck is just like, listen, man, it's March, it's April. Where the hell am I going to get a coach? He called in his old buddy. He said, I need you to watch this team for a year, only a year. And then we're going to move on. And that's not to say that he's not going to stick around. Just need somebody to do the job. It's like calling up that one friend when you need something moved. It's like, who the hell can I call? Well, that guy, he can come do it. Currently unemployed. Maybe he can come through and just help me move my couch. That's what Frank Reich is doing right now for Andrew Luck. And last time we saw Frank Reich, man, this poor guy was trying to coach the Carolina Panthers a couple of years ago. He didn't even make it through the season. A record of 1-10. Before David Tepper just said, just leave. Just go away. And so good luck to Frank Reich as he tries to figure things out at Stanford. And to Andrew Luck as well. He ain't going anywhere. You can see that guy never quitting that job. And then also, speaking of coaches, how about this? John Harbaugh, the man who recently got a 3-year contract extension from the Baltimore Ravens. I know some fans were like, why are we still giving this guy an extension when we can't get past the Bills or the Chiefs? Well, it looks like they're going to be keeping their quarterback around as well. Lamar Jackson, we know, he is not going anywhere. The Ravens would be stupid to get rid of him. Well, apparently, the Baltimore Ravens are also looking at giving Lamar Jackson a contract extension so he could be paid commensurate with the top quarterbacks in the game. Even though he's still making $52 million. John Harbaugh talked about this earlier today. Listen.
There's been conversations about that internally, I know. How far along that is or whatever, I don't know. But I definitely think it's an obvious point that you're making. That's going to continue to have to be addressed, really, with all those guys. I mean, you just got to kind of manage that dance, the salary cap dance. And Lamar is the main part of that because he's the franchise player. When Lamar gets paid, he's going to be the highest paid player in football, you know, just like he was last time. I think every contract he signs, probably until he decides to hang up his cleats, he's going to be that guy.
Yeah, come on, man. You think about Dak Prescott now getting $60 million a year. Lamar is making $52 a year. Josh Allen gave his team a little bit of a discount. He's like, he's going from $43 million a year to $55 a year. Is Lamar going to give the Ravens a discount, or is he going to go out there and break the bank? We'll find out soon enough. Lamar Jackson only paid $52 a year. He's like, Dak can't make more money than me. We'll see how this goes. Leave some money on the table, man. Try to get some help. You need it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break when we come back. Speaking of quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson, multiple-time MVP, not a mistake. There's a team in his division, the Browns, the Haslams. They've admitted to a massive mistake with their quarterback. This is something you rarely hear. I'm going to tell you about it on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Don't move.